do our Mark 9:23 right quick. Y'all know these by heart now, right? Y'all don't? Y'all don't know these by heart yet? We've been doing them now. I was informed that this week is 4. Last week was 3. We said it was 4. Yeah. Yeah, I got messed up. It's all right. Anyway, so here in Mark 9, we're going to read verse 23, but to back up just a little bit, y'all know the story, right? The guy had a lunatic son, we would call it probably epilepsy, you know, took it to his disciples. They couldn't cast the devil out, so he comes to Jesus, you know, and tells him, if you can do anything, help us. So verse 23 here, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, look at Philippians 4. All means all there when you look it up. That means everything. So if you can believe it, you can receive it, right? You can have it. You can do it. You can be it. All right, here in Philippians 4. Now, we've been reading verse 12 and all that, but we're just going to read 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we know the verses up above it. He says he's learned how to live in humble circumstances. He's learned how to live when he has more than enough and all of that. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He's not relying on himself. He's not relying on his own strength, right? But he's relying on Christ who strengthens him. Now, we read all that. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do a little bit of recap on, and then because we got some more stuff. And I hate the way that we had to leave that off where we read the scripture, you know, everything you do, glorify God. You know, Johnny got up here and said, that was heavy. You know, I did the heavy, and then we just had to stop. So we had to stop there. Now, we read Proverbs 18:14. Amplified says it's the strong spirit of a man that sustains him in all of his infirmities and weaknesses. And in Matthew 26:39-41, that's where Jesus was in the garden, and he told the disciples, pray with me. You know, and he took Peter, James, and John a little further, and they supposed to have been praying, come back, and they was asleep. And Jesus told them, he said, truly the spirit is willing, he said, but the flesh is weak. So that's what, now, and when I say weak, the flesh will try to dominate you, you know. You got to be strong in your spirit, man, to overcome him. Now, Galatians, we read 5:16-18, we read how the scripture says that the flesh is opposed to the spirit and the spirit is opposed to the flesh. They're totally contrary and opposite to one another. It's kind of like they're in a war all the time to one another. Then we read in Romans 8 that it talks about how the flesh cannot please God. And the Amplified Bible says what flesh is carnal reasoning without God. You know, kind of like a bill comes up or whatever, you know, and you think, well, what am I going to sell, or what am I going to pawn, or what am I going to do, how am I going to pay this bill? Well, that's just the flesh. That's just you trying to work your stuff out. Where a spiritual person, the first thing they think of is what the Word says. Or if they don't know the Word on it or whatever, then the first thing they think, well, God, you'll help me, you know, you'll take care of this or whatever it is. So then Galatians 6, we talked about how you can't keep sowing to the flesh and reap from the spirit. It's a law. You cannot change the law. Whatever you sow to, and when I say sow to your flesh, kind of like this. I told y'all about the anger deal, and I still haven't lost it yet. Come real close. Closer this week, I guess, and I haven't too much, you know. Because I'm all right if you gripe at me for just a little bit and you're done. But if you continue on griping at me, and then I get away from you and you follow me, oh, that's really not good. And some of that happened, so I just had to get a little further away, you know. But God is helping me. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, sowing to the flesh. Kind of like that, you know. One of the reasons why I had done better with my temper before than what I have done, you know, before I started working on it strongly again, is just yielding to it. You know, just feeling the anger and yielding to it. Thinking the bad thoughts or saying bad things, you know, or whatever it is. So the more that you yield to that, that's the flesh. It's not the spirit. So the more you yield to that, the stronger it's going to be until you just, I mean, at the drop of the hat, you just lose control. And then you'll be like, what happened? You know, I didn't mean to say that or I didn't mean to do that. Well, if I'm not in control, who is? You know, and God wants to control all of us through our own will, yielding it to Him. But the devil also wants to control us. And one of the ways he does that is puts pressure on people's flesh. Say you got an anger problem. He loves to use Christians that will allow them to be used. Because they're unsuspecting. You wouldn't think the devil would come through them, right? You know? So if you got an anger problem or whatever, then he creates situations or whatever, or get paid to use people or whatever, to do things that's like I would call triggers that we get on your nerves or has a tendency to upset you. Why? Because he knows anytime he does it, just like that, you're going to be mad. Or if you can't pass up a piece of pie, you know, people's just going to start bringing you pies or biscuits or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is about the flesh. God wants us in control. Because if we're in control, because we love him, he can help us and he can be in control. Now let's look at, we'll start back now with that scripture that we went to last week. 1 Corinthians 6. We got to get on here, so can't do a whole lot of recapping. First Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading in verse 9. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," that would be like homosexuals or lesbians or whatever, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed," talking about the born again, "but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." He says, "All things are lawful unto me." This is Paul talking. Notice what he says, though. "But all things are not expedient for me." What that means is everything's not good for me. He's saying, I can choose to do anything I want to do. If I want to smoke, God's not going to come and slap a cigarette out of my hand. Or if I want to, you know, commit adultery or something, you know, I mean, God's not going to make me not. He doesn't want me to. He's not going to help me to or whatever. But I'm the one that I have the choice, just like Paul is saying here. So I'm free to do anything I want to. He says, "But all things are not good for me to do. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." That's where the problem is, yielding to the flesh. Because the more you yield to the flesh, the stronger it gets, and the more it dominates you, to the point like Sandy was talking about, she was having a hard time fasting, you know. And most of the time, your flesh, especially if you like food, your flesh don't want to fast anyway. You know, like she was talking about, you know, some people, you know, they say, "Well, I can quit doing this anytime I want to." You say, "Well, go ahead and quit." "Well, I don't want to." See, that's where the problem is. It doesn't matter what I want. Y'all not saying nothing. It doesn't matter what I want. I know what is right, right? If I wanted another woman's husband, should I just go and do that because that's what I want? Absolutely not. So it's the same thing with a hot dog or whatever it is, a piece of pie or a habit or something like that, or some kind of immorality or something. It doesn't matter if you want it or not. You might want to rob a bank, but jail and the consequences might deter you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So you want something, but that doesn't mean you have to have it or you don't have to do it. So he says, "I won't be brought under the power of anything." Why? Because we're only supposed to be under the power of God. We're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says, 13, "Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them." Talking about the process. We won't need it later. "Now the body is not," "for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" He says, "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." It says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." He says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says there, verse 20 in the Amplified, he says, you were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. He says, so then honor, where it says glorify, the Amplified Bible says, so then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. So there's a lot of things that I can do with my body, with my spirit and my body and my mind and all that, that would bring glory to God. So that's the things I need to be doing. There's other things that you can do that they do not bring any kind of glory or honor to God. And those are the things that we're supposed to be working on. You know, and you'll hear somebody say, well, nobody's perfect. That's a cop-out. Because, see, when we're in faith and obeying God, we may not be completely flawless yet, but God sees us as perfect. A heart that is in faith. Because one out of faith, there's no way you can even please him. I don't care if you're not cussing and drinking and committing adultery and all that. You're still not pleasing him. But when you're in faith, and faith helps you obey him, you know, then we're pleasing to him, and he counts it as perfection. I mean, you didn't really have to tell us you're not perfect. I mean, I think we all pretty much know that. I mean, I don't think I need nobody to tell me, because I know I'm not. But just because I'm not yet, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The Bible says we are to be as he is. So that means I better be working on it. I better be working toward that, right? The Apostle Paul, he said in one place, he said that he's pressing toward the mark, right? Not that he had already attained. He says, not that I've already apprehended, you know, what's apprehended me. He said, but I press forward toward the mark. But there's a lot of Christians today, they're not pressing forward toward no mark. There's a lot of things that is going on in Christianity that is just like the world. And there's not a whole lot of preaching done on it, you know, to where, I mean, you talk to people and they'll say, well, you got your truth and I got my truth. Well, you must not be a Christian then. A Christian, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and his word is truth, right? It's not my truth, it's his truth, but that truth has to become my truth and a part of me and living on the inside of me. It's not Sandy's got her truth, you know, and I've got my truth, you know. They say, just live your truth. Don't believe that junk. Well, see, there's certain things we can't believe and be a Christian. We have to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and all those things that he went through, the crucifixion, all that's real. You can't be a Christian without believing that, right? You believe that in your heart, you confess that as your mouth, he becomes your Lord. Well, that's true. You know, and anything other than that, that's not truth, it's a lie. So there's not my truth and your truth. There's only one truth. Because Jesus is the Word, right? And the Word is truth, and he says he's the truth. Now let's look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, he says, you are bought with a price, be not servants of men. The reason why I read that, quoted that, is because that's what it says here. I don't belong to myself. You don't belong to yourself. Number one, he owns us to begin with because he's the creator of us. If I make something, it's mine, right? Well, then he lost we lost our authority and all that, and then he sent Jesus that paid the ransom that bought us back again. So he owns me. I can't just think anything I want to think. I mean, I can, but it's not going to be good for me. I can't just say, I can, but, you know, as a Christian, I can't just do anything I want to do. The Bible talks about how that's licentiousness. They're just casting off restraint, doing whatever you feel like. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm reading this because of the scripture we just read. It says here, verse 23. Well, we'll back up to, he's telling them here, not 19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Y'all remember the story of Joseph, right? I mean, that dude, he run and just left his coat. I mean, she's got a hold of him. He just She pulls his coat off of him, and he just leaves it. He runs. Well, I had to do some of that the other day. I didn't run, but I walked. And then I sat down, and they followed me, so I got up and walked a little further. Why? Because I'm not going to do that anymore. That is not good. I don't like being out of control. It's not good for my body. I'm not made to be angry all the time. I'm supposed to be peaceful all the time. But there may be situations that you just got to get up and you got to go. You know, if you got a problem with sweets or whatever, pass up the aisle at the grocery store. You'd rather do that than pass it in the refrigerator or the candy bar in the cabinet every time you go into the kitchen, right? But he says, flee from it. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean there? Well, my soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. We know what our spirit is. That's us that's on the inside of here. And then even our body. So there's no part that he leaves out. Every area of my life, he is supposed to be controlling it by me yielding myself to him. Right? Now let's look at, since we're here in Thessalonians, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. I think we'll start in verse 1. Excuse me. He says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. So I never get to stop doing this. I never get to stop working on this, or I'm not supposed to, right? Because the thing about it is, you can't spiritually stay where you are. The devil and the flesh won't allow it. Before you know it, you'll be going backwards. But he says here, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to what? Possess his vessel. Did y'all hear that? That every one of us, not God's possessing our vessel. He said that every one of us as a Christian should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now the Amplified says, verse 5, he says, not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen. And when you hear that, don't just think sexual. Lust means strong desire. You can have that for anything and anybody. He says, who are ignorant of the true God and have no knowledge of his will. He says, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but unto holiness. He says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who also giveth unto us his Holy Spirit. That verse 8 in the Amplified, it says, therefore, whoever disregards, sets aside, and rejects this, what he's saying, disregards not man, but God, whose very Spirit, whom he gives to you, is holy, chaste, and pure. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 9. And I mean, and Johnny was right. When the Lord started leading me and I first started studying this, I thought the same thing. Lord, this is heavy. This is, you don't hear much of this stuff at a lot of places. But God loves us, right? And that's why he keeps telling us over and over, don't be condemned. You need faith to overcome. We need faith to be all that he's called us to be and do all that he's called us to do. Condemnation won't help you. That'll hurt you. But here in 1 Corinthians 9, I'm going to start reading in verse 24 for time's sake. He says, this is Paul talking. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, I've said this before. Our walk with God is not a sprint. It don't matter if you read 10 chapters a day for 3 days, what you going to do for the rest of the 300-something days in a year. You know, it's not what I can do for just a little while. You know, that's one reason why I'm not on a diet. I'm not going. I have actually lost. Now, y'all probably wouldn't know this. My mama says my face don't look bloated or whatever. My eyes ain't chinky. You know, but anyway, you can hold a lot in with a girdle, you know, so y'all probably don't look like it, but I have lost 34 pounds. And it's not been hard, because like I said, I'm not on a diet, and I can't live on a diet. You understand, diets work because you restrict yourself, you know, whether it's calories or carbs or whatever it is that you restrict yourself from, Well, I'm not doing that. I'm just every day, every meal, I'm looking to the Lord. Lord, help me to make whatever is the healthiest choice. I mean, yesterday I ate a hamburger and french fries, but now last night I made myself eat a salad because I know the hamburger and french fries, you know, had a pretty good bit probably of calories. I think a potato makes what, one cup of sugar is what they say it equals, you know. So, and I didn't eat all of my french fries, but that's what I'm saying is if I was on a low-carb diet, I couldn't have eaten that. You know, or if I was on a low-calorie diet, I couldn't eat that. You know, but see, I'm not. I'm not on a diet. I'm just, and I'm not looking to do it in my own strength. I know what His will is for me as far as my health, my weight, all of that is affected and all that. So I'm looking just like I've been telling y'all when we've been reading the scriptures. I can do this. I can live with this, Sandy, for the rest of my life. Not counting the spiritual benefits that I'm getting, because now at least three times a day I've said, Lord, which one's the healthier choice? Lord, help me. You know, where normally I wouldn't be doing that. Whatever my taste buds wanted, I'd just go in there and fix it. And then I don't eat as... Kenneth Hagin had this saying. He said, don't ever eat as much as you want to. Don't ever eat as much as I want to. Well, you know what? Yesterday I could eat those few more fries, but I had the little bit of full filling, and I thought, no, I'm just not going to eat them. So I didn't eat as much as I wanted to. You understand what I'm saying? And this works in every area. It doesn't have to be the area of food or whatever. But if we don't ever start working on it and looking to the Lord to strengthen us and help us and all of that, I mean, we're going to be disqualified for a lot of stuff. Let's finish reading this because I'm actually fixing to say what the scripture says. Let's just read it out of the Bible here. He says, we're all in a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Marathons take longer. You may have swimming, jogging, bicycling, all kinds of things in that marathon, you know, where a sprint is kind of like a 50-yard dash or something. That's not our life. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So we're going to be rewarded, right? We'll be rewarded here and when we get there of certain things. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under what? Who does it? God keeps it under? He says, but I, talking about the Spirit, keep under my vessel, which is my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And you don't have to be behind the pulpit to be preaching. If you're a Christian, your life is preaching something. People's watching you. Like Johnny said, told me, set up here, you know, a few weeks ago or whatever, that I might not have thought people was watching when I'm drunk and all of that. But yeah, I could feel people watching, you know, and it was kind of embarrassing. But I know what he was saying. Especially if people know we're Christians, they're watching our lives. And our life is preaching something. You know, is it preaching, you know, that we're just overcome by the flesh in all kinds of area? Or is it giving glory to God? And notice what he says here. Let me read this in the Amplified. He says, 25, he says, now every athlete goes into training, conducts himself temperately, and restricts himself in all things. I mean, y'all see that on TV, right? Y'all see that? I think it was when my nephews was playing football. They wasn't allowed to drink Cokes. Any kind of carbonated, they wasn't allowed to drink it. I don't know if they still do that or not, but that's been years ago. They wasn't allowed to drink Cokes if he was on the football team. Do what? Oh, is it? But see, I mean, just for natural things, natural purposes, that's not even godly or whatever, we'll restrict ourselves. Why? Because we want the reward of whatever it is. Kind of like this. Now, I don't care nothing about looking good for people. I mean, everybody, I'm sure, wants people to think they're attractive or look good or something other or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm not working on losing weight so I can wear skimpy clothes and people think I look good, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, I would like my husband to think I look good or whatever. Oh, boy. We're getting into something, ain't we? But the thing about it is, I've got a picture of this girl, and I used her in 2015. She's slim, but she's not skinny. She's a little bit muscled and a little bit toned. She got some abs, you know. So she's on my refrigerator door. The reason why she's on my refrigerator door is to remind me every time I go to that refrigerator, do I want this to eat or do I want to weigh this and be healthier? Do I want to let Scotty see me or just stay in the dark? Y'all see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not doing it for other people or whatever. But the reason that picture's there is because I know if I'm going to get where my heart's desire and I believe the Lord wants me to get, I'm going to have to restrict myself. I mean, I don't care. If you've been smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day and you're down to 2, we're going to rejoice with you. And you might think, well, I'm not quit yet. Well, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I don't care if you want to lose weight. If you lose a pound a month, we will rejoice with you. See, in 2015, I lost 33 pounds in 3 months, but in 7 years, we're not going to say. It's a bunch. I have never weighed this much in my entire life, not even 9 months pregnant. So it's a bunch. It took me 7 years to get there, but you know how I got there? Just not paying attention, just letting my flesh do whatever it wanted to do as far as eating was concerned. And then, you know, you got the head thing, so I have to roll around in the chair. I can't walk for days, and that don't help you none either. But notice he says he restricts himself in all things. He says they do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run uncertainly, without definite aim. A key to this, you got to know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you don't know how you're going to get there. You understand? Because if I want to go from here to Florida, I'm going to have a map that tells me what road to get on. It's the same way if you're overspending, if you are up in debt to your eyeballs and you believe the Lord wants you to get out, there's scriptures for that and all that, you can. But now you're going to have to change something that you've been doing. He goes on and he says here, without definite aim, he said, I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. He says, but like a boxer, I buffet. Do you know this word buffet and the word buffet is spelled exactly the same way? I mean, I'm right about that, ain't I? I thought I was. So, some people might read it, but I, like a boxer, buffet my body. That's not good. You need to read it in other translations. There's another translation. He said, I buffet my body. He said, I beat it black and blue. Now, I don't think the Lord wants you to punch your eye out or anything. But now, he does say, if that's what's causing you to see him, pluck it out, cut it off. Right? I don't think he really wants us to do that. But he's trying to show a point there. And he says here, I buffet my body, handle it roughly. I think sometimes we want to be rough with people, but pretty easy on ourselves. I try not to do that. I need to be easier on people and harder on me. But it's painful when I'm harder on me. He says, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships. I don't know anybody that likes hardships. I don't like them. I don't like problems. I don't like hardships. I don't like being uncomfortable. But do you realize those are really the best things for us? And one reason why faith don't just make every problem you have go away and all of that. The Bible says that trials and adversity is a chisel in the hand of God. It's cutting off all of that stuff that's not Christ-like if you let it work. He says, and subdue it. He says, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. Kind of like this for an example. Scotty is our pastor here, and I mean, he has a certain way that he should be living just like all the rest of us, or me, or anybody else, or whatever. You know, and he preaches to us, and we listen to him, and all of that, and we love him. But now, if he starts having affairs, there's going to be a problem. He's not looking at the back of your head. Why is that? Because that can't be happening. Now, if he comes and he quits and he apologizes to the church, I'm sure we would all forgive him. I mean, we're called to. We're supposed to forgive him, you know, which, y'all, not as much me. I don't have to forgive him. I can't divorce him. But anyway, off of that, just to let you know, buddy. Anyhow, you know, so we would forgive him and all that. But how many knows that possibly can disqualify him from being the pastor here? And the will of God is for him to be the pastor here and pastor all of us, shepherd all of us that are here. Why? Because he's going to get a reward now for all of that, and he's going to get an eternal reward later. But yielding to his flesh in the area of a strong lust for somebody or something and having an affair can disqualify him for what God's called him to do, and he'll get no rewards for all of that. And if you are not careful, you get over into different stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of like this. I mean, I don't think it's a sin to drink a beer, you know. But now the Bible does talk about being a drunkard. Well, there's some people, you know, usually somebody that's drunk, if y'all have ever been around them, usually they're like, you say, you're about lit, you know, you're drunk. Well, I'm not drunk. What are you talking about? I'm not drunk at all. I have never seen a drunk that admits they're drunk until they're about throwing up or something like that. Then they might. You know, so if you're drinking and all of that, you know, you might be a drunk, but you don't think you are. And the thing about that is when you start that stuff and it gets a hold in your flesh and all of that stuff, do you realize it can actually take you away from God because there's a problem going on? It's not necessarily the alcohol that God cares about or whatever, but it's called what it does to us. It's not good for physical bodies, you know, all different kinds of stuff. And I'm not just trying to get on drinking. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. The Bible says, fear not. I mean, worry. A lot of Christians, they say, I can't help it. Well, it's not what the Word says. I just had a situation, I think it was last week or a week before, that was just trying to burn my mind up day and night about making me cry, think about it and all that. And I thought, I can't even think about this. I'm not going to worry. I can't help them. You know, if I get in the flesh and I start worrying and all of that or whatever, I just have to pray for them and leave it alone. Why? Because I'm commanded, fear not and don't worry. Worry is sin. A lot of Christians don't think it is. They just want to think about the fornication, the adultery, the smoking, the drinking, the dipping, whatever that is. You know, but no, we're supposed to not worry about anything. But he says that there, he says, I can become unapproved and all that, and we don't want that happening to us. There's things that God has for us to do in our lives that probably a lot of us has not even crossed our mind yet. But see, it don't just fall on us, and it don't just happen. There's times that you have to grow to a place. You understand, your walk with God is progressive. There's just like a little kid. You might not can explain to a two-year-old right now how babies get in the belly. Y'all know what I'm saying? But let that kid grow a little bit, and then they ask you later on, then you might could kind of explain it where they could understand. It's the same way with God. It's how come you read the Bible this year, and next year you may read the same chapter again and be like, wow, I never saw that before. What does that mean? You grew. You know, a lot of people, when they first start reading the Bible, it's like, I'm not reading that. I don't understand. Look at what that says. You know, I have people tell me that. Now, I don't read Christians. I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. Well, you really think you're going to get to understanding it by not reading it? Read it. Ask the author about it. Pray about it or whatever. And understanding will come. It will for everybody. Now, let's look at... Let's look at 1 Timothy 4. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 6. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he put Timothy as a young pastor over a church and everything, and he's been telling him things to do and stuff like that. So here in verse 6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, what he's been telling him the verses before, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, notice this, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Most people, you hear them say that or whatever, they say, see, only the wicked run when nobody's pursuing them. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Exercise and jogging. The scripture says that the wicked run. I'm not the wicked, I'm the righteous, so I'm not going to run. You get it? Anyway, it says, they'll say, you know, see, there's no reason to physically exercise. It don't do no good. That's not what that said. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now listen in the Amplified. He says, verse 7, he says, but refuse and avoid irreverent legend, profane and impure, godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales and silly mess. He said, is an express your disapproval of them. Train yourself. A lot of Christians just think this stuff just happens. They don't anything just happen. Any kind of growth. or understanding or anything. He says, train yourself toward godliness, piety, keeping yourself spiritually fit. He says, for physical training, talking about exercising, is of some value, useful for a little. Why? Because when you're doing that, you're just working on the outward man. But when you're working on the spiritual man, the spirit inside you, which is who you really are, will profit you in your thinking. It'll profit you in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. It will profit you in your body. Why? Because the spiritual man gets supernatural strength, supernatural health. Where if I'm just exercising this physical body, all I'm getting is a natural thing. Y'all understand? So he's comparing the two. He's not saying physical exercise is not good for you to do. He's comparing it to spiritual exercise. So every one of us is supposed to be getting spiritual exercise and training to keep ourselves spiritually fit. Now let's look at Luke 14. I didn't figure I'd get a whole lot of amen. I don't amen it myself much. As it don't feel good. But God loves us, and I know it's good, and I know it's going to benefit me. Anywhere that I yield to him, you know. Gosh, did Luke get out of my Bible? There it is. I'm thinking I just read that this morning. Luke 14, verse 25 is where I'm going to start. The little heading of the top of my page here above 25, it says the cost of discipleship. Now, Johnny, you thought that other one was heavy. This one is too. Or it was to me. Maybe it might not be that heavy for y'all. It says, and there were great multitudes with him, talking about Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, if any man, that means any person, not just a man, any woman, any child, right? Any human, in other words, come to me and hate not. And that word hate, it doesn't mean like you despise them or whatever. It's talking about a contrast. If you had to pick between your husband and God, you pick God. If you had to pick between your father or your mother and God, it's God every time. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that they hated, I can't think of it now. Anyway, let's just read this. He says, and brothers and sisters, and not his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Did we hear that? We're not just called to be converts. We're called to be his disciples, right? And he says that if we don't love him more than anything and anybody, even our own self, we cannot be a disciple. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, he said, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. That's why I said earlier, I think in another message, I have figured out I can't do this without exercise. I need exercise. Exercise is good for me. It's good for my body. Well, what's that mean? So I need to run out and join a gym? No, a gym membership's not going to make me exercise. I've done that before. I think I might have went twice. See, that's not what's going to make me do it. And I don't have to have exercise equipment. Go get you a tractor tire. You get out there in your front yard and just start flipping it. Maybe you can't flip it when you first start. They're pretty heavy. Maybe not I can flip it. Start doing that. Start running around your house or walking fast around your house. See, our mind tells us if I get a membership, or if I get me a life coach, or if I get me some this or that, that's what's going to make me do. No, it's not. Ain't nothing but you going to make you do whatever it is that you need to do or I need to do. And he says here, so you got to count the cost. What's it going to cost me to look and feel the way I want to look and feel? What's it going to cost me to build up my bank account and get out of debt? It's going to cost me something. And that's what he's saying here. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. He says, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all. This is heavy to me. Because there's things I like, there's things I want. They might not necessarily be sin in their stuff, but they're not good for me or whatever. He says, forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Have y'all ever noticed how that around Christmas time, end of the year, holidays, how many commercials they start advertising for cigarette patches, for weight loss centers, the gym, different stuff like that? Have y'all ever noticed that? Why do you think that is? Because a lot of people didn't like the way their life was or is, and at the end of the year, they're going to change it next year. They call it New Year's resolutions. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've made a bunch of them. And the thing about those New Year's resolutions, it's easy to go throw my cigarettes in the garbage right then and say I'm not smoking no more. Or my day, whatever it is. But now, January 1st is coming. Y'all don't get what I'm saying, do you? See, I've got to see, am I willing to pay what this is going to take? Am I willing to pay? See, I can sign a gym membership, but that's not what's going to make me do the work that I need to do. I've made a New Year's resolution. So if you're going to change something, you need to count the cost and make realistic things. You know, I mean, something like 2 or 3 pounds, you know, or 2 pounds a week or 5 pounds a month or whatever, you know. Don't say I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 30 days. I mean, that's going to have to be a miracle. Now, God can do miracles. I'm not saying he can't. He can if you can believe him for it. You know, but that's not going to be healthy for you either. So you're going to have to sit down and count the cost, you know, and map you out a direction with prayer and seeking the Lord of what he says, whatever that area is. I may not have even mentioned what your area is. It doesn't matter. Whatever the Lord is talking to you about right now, the most. Now, I've got a couple that I'm working on right now, but I know I've got a whole lot more that I need to work on, but let's do a little bit here at a time. I can't do it all at one time. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So make realistic things. You know, if you're in debt to your eyeballs or whatever, pay a little extra on your smallest bill. I mean, we got books in here that can help you with some of that, of how to do some of that stuff, you know. But, I mean, the best thing is get it from the Lord or whatever. So, I mean, that's what I done too. I think I had some credit cards or something that was my smallest things or whatever on there. And the thing about that I have come to see about them, if I don't have the money to pay it off, I probably shouldn't use it. Because you're looking at most of the time 29.99% interest, you know, and if you're late, it's a $30 charge, more than what your payment would have been or whatever. So a lot of times, you know, that's not good to do if you don't have the money to pay it off. I just use mine sometimes for certain things or whatever. But anyway, whatever your smallest bill is, pay a little bit. I don't care if it's $5. The thing about it is, you are getting something out of putting the effort toward it. But a lot of people won't even start. Say they need to lose 100 pounds. They won't even try to start because they're looking at 100 pounds. But do you understand, you don't eat a sandwich in one bite? Most people don't, you know. Most people, it takes a few bites. Stacy looked at Richard. I think she just looked at him. I don't think it had nothing to do with that, did it? But anyway, you know, well, you can't look at that. If I can't eat it in one bite, well, then I can't do it. That's not so. You know, a baby can eat a little bit, you know, but the thing about it is, it's the consistency of keeping biting on that. For long, you'll have it eat. You understand what I'm saying? Or before long, it may be $5 a time that you can pay on that. But do you understand? Your conscience is going to be better as you're paying on it, because a lot of times we have condemnation about this stuff because we know what they're wrong. It shouldn't be this way in our lives, whatever it is. So don't necessarily always look at the big picture. You know, if you got a weight thing or whatever, I like to weigh every day. I just like to do that because I like to know where I'm at. Can I have a little extra over here today? Or, like I said, I ate the hamburger stuff, so I know I need to eat a salad. I don't need to eat another hamburger or whatever, you know. But make realistic things for yourselves that you know, that the Lord can help you do and all of that stuff. And don't just rely on you, no matter what it is. Because God, He's got big things for us, but a lot of things we have to qualify. You know, we had to stay 8 years where we was, and we probably could have got down here sooner had we listened better, obeyed more, you know, or something like that. So anyway, does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment before we close? 'Cause